This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wexmo Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. I'm your host, Dean, joined this week just by Dane. Dane, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, good. It's feels like I've been on it, not been on here for a while, but it's maybe 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half. But yeah, still challenging. I'm checking Twitter less, as I was just saying off air. Looking forward with anticipation to see, you know, who's eventually going to take over. As our chairman and leader, and the views and what they've got for the future, the plans, especially for obviously the women's team, because this is obviously a women's podcast. Obviously, we'll be intrigued by the men's as well, and hopefully, we can you can start afresh, new page, like I've probably said already, and start righting some wrongs.
Yeah, we did get a lot of lovely feedback from our podcast we did on the sanctions and what it means for the team, which is very nice. I'd like to hopefully some information soon on what next for Chelsea. No, Jane, she's unavailable tonight. She will be back later in the week, but we are joined by Matt Ball from Wild Wild Chelsea. Matt, welcome back to the show. It's been a little while since we've seen you.
Yeah, it's been a while, but happy to be on once again to the best Chelsea Women's podcast. Mm.
We don't pay him to say that. Although we all mentioned that Matt does his own Chelsea Women's podcast. Is that right? No?
Yeah, getting it started up. Been a little bit inconsistent with just timings in my life to get consistent episodes out. But hoping to get another one on this game out tomorrow. So yeah, check it out, guys.
You ain't a social bunny like Jane, are you?
It's more work. Work's just something. I just go through waves of just busy, and I'm just like, I can't record anything.
Yeah, I get you.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not even the recording, it's actually getting stuff ready to be able to record. Dane doesn't know anything about that. How can people find the podcast? Where is it? What's the name, etc.?
Yeah, so you can find the podcast, just Worldwide Chelsea Podcast. You can find it on Spotify or Apple. We're looking to boost the Instagram and Twitter, so find us WWC pod articles on that as well.
Yeah, we'll put the links for everything in the description box as always. Now the reason we are here tonight is to look back at a 5-star Chelsea performance as they put 5 past Birmingham City in the FA Cup quarterfinal this past Sunday, the 20th of March at Kings Meadow. Chelsea lined up in a 3-4-3 formation with Anne Katchenberger in goal, the back three of Minnie Bright, Jess Carter and Magda Eriksson. Neve Charles, Sophie Ingle, Drew Spence and Yonna Anderson made up a midfield four with Ji So-yeon and Jessie Fleming supporting Bethany England in attack. Emma Hayes used 3 of her available substitutions when she brought on Lauren James, Alsu Abdelina and Marin Miola for Jessie Fleming and Neve Charles. In the 67th minute, this left to Kira Muzovic, Anik Nguyen, Guru Wrighton, Erin Cuthbert and Sam Kerr as unused substitutes. Stats-wise, Chelsea had 73% possession, 29 shots, 11 on target, 6 corners and 4 fouls. Then I suppose the big news from the team sheet was the return of Magda Eriksson to the starting lineup after her substitute appearance against Everton midweek. Good to see her back, and not just back, but playing the full game as well.
Yeah, surprised she played the full game. But yeah, she's obviously our captain. She's our leader. We've obviously got worthwhile when she's obviously not playing. We've got some. We've got quite a few captains within the squad, which is always good for a successful team. But you know, just having her presence around back on the field, you know, her smile, just the way she has her stature in the game. Yeah, it's great to see her back, and be interesting to see if. I know you're going to ask the question later, but you know, going forward, does that mean she's back in the 11, or will the tactics change? But yeah, Magda Eriksson in your team, back fit and raring to go, is a massive plus, especially how important it is at this stage of the season and what we're going for.
Yeah, Millie's led the team so well in Magda's absence, but it seems to me, Matt, that Magda hadn't been away the way she played in this game. You know, stepping out with the ball. She was, you know, vital to everything we did, sort of building up to the build-up play. And to top that off with the goal just for half-time was sort of the perfect return, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise that we did so well in the defensive outer, but it was even bigger of a surprise that after the long period of time she was out, that she managed to step in like she's, as you said, not been out at all. Fantastic performance, especially coming back from injury. And yeah, I think... in terms of she's the captain, so unless she's playing bad, she goes straight into the starting lineup. So I think, unfortunately, it's going to be harsh on whoever gets left out. But that's up to Emma to decide.
Yeah, we're going to ask that question when we look ahead to the game on Wednesday later in the show. Then the other bit of team news, which is, you know, sparking conversation right now, is the goalkeeper. So Ann Katchenberger replaced Ciro Musovic, who played the last 3 games on the spin. Anything to read into AKB being in goal for this game? Because it's sort of the game you would expect your second choice goalkeeper probably to play.
Now, what do you think?
I'm asking you, I'm the host.
What's the Discord group saying then? Because I can't see how you would not go with your number one keeper. Just again, you know, carrying on from what I said, you know, this is such an important stage of the season. You know, if we win all our league games, we win the title. Do you see it as a big risk? You say Musovic played 3 games in a row, which is... okay, well, does she carry on? Would you reckon she plays against Tottenham on Wednesday night? Or I can only see her going with what she knows and, you know, the presence, you know... the performance, we know what we get from her. You know, historically, she's got these big games in her. You know, been there, seen it, done it. Very cliche, I know. Got the T-shirt, and yeah, it's just too important to take a. Even though it's harsh, I don't think it is a risk because I think Musovic is turning into what could be a really good goalkeeper and could be number one possibly next season. Maybe that's harsh, maybe that's not. But yeah, I can only see Berger starting against Tottenham on Wednesday, but I'm interested to see what you think.
AKB had a bad game against Man City, and her mistake for the goal changed the overall outcome of the tie, I think.
Harsh on goalies, though, isn't it? When you make them, you know, you can be an outfield player, you make a mistake, you get away with it. You make 5 mistakes and nothing happens, but as a goalie, you get punished more often than not, 9 times out of 10, if you make a mistake.
Yeah, and obviously she had the game against Wolfsburg in the Champions League, the first game, she made 3 mistakes, cost us a point or 3 points in that game. For Musovic to play against Aston Villa probably wasn't a massive shock because they're not, you know, they did play well, but they're not a very good, they're not a great side. And we was at home. But for her to play away at Everton, I think is quite telling. And I've noticed just with the eye that Chelsea seem a bit more comfortable playing at the back with the ball with Musovic as the goalkeeper than they do with AKB. And I haven't got any stats about that apart from it's my eye test. Matt, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Berger's been such a good goalkeeper for us since she's come in over the last season. So especially she's made some vital saves in vital competitions, big games. I think just because she's had one almost Torah time in a final, I don't think that necessarily means she'll be out. I think we should give her, again, another chance. Whether it's because Zashira has played three games in a row and she's, Emma's probably thought, give Berger a game and then decide it from there. I don't know what's going to happen. But, I mean, for me, I'd still have Berger as number one. And then maybe towards next season, you look at and go, well, who's number one, who's number two going into next season. But I think for the rest of the season, I'd say just stay with Berger.
Yeah, I was surprised when Berger signed her contract extension last year for another 3 years because we had signed Sakira. So, yeah, it's interesting. We'll speak more about that in the preview to Tottenham anyway. Matt, the first half, quite frustrating. Is that the right word to say? I mean, Chelsea dominated, but I think they struggled to create many moments of real quality. And quite telling that the two best chances we had was Millie Bright hitting the bar or the post from 30 yards and then Magda scoring. So from the two centre-backs.
Yeah, I think it was one of them games. I think Birmingham, since their new manager's come in, they've been a bit better defensively, and I think they have grinded out some performances with just sitting back. And we knew they were going to sit back. I think they let us almost play out in the wide areas, but as soon as it got into the middle, there were so many people in the box. So it was hard to create kind of too many chances. I don't think it was too bad. I think we were just kind of keeping controlled. I felt we were just quite patient. I think we knew eventually a goal was going to come. I think that's a sign of the top teams. You're not rushing, panicking, trying stuff that's not going to work and losing the ball too much. We're keeping controlled, having faith that the goal was going to come in. And then, obviously, Magda scored at what is, people would say, the perfect time to score just before half-time. Really puts the morals down in terms of Birmingham going into the half-time and really lifts spirits of Chelsea. And I think that's what partially inspired the second half.
Yeah, I don't think there was any fear or concern that Birmingham were going to score no matter how well they pressed when we got in the final third. Dane, as Matt mentioned then, scoring just before half-time is the perfect time to score. How much of an impact do you think that had on the second half performance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, massive. Yeah. You know, I agree with Matt. I thought, you know, we're very patient. We didn't look panicked or anything or like we was rushing something. As with quite a few games this we've seen this season, once you do score that first goal, then that usually leads to two, three or four, obviously, given the time of scoring. But, you know, as you said, they would have been quite confident, you know, going into halftime, holding us at bay. Yeah, and that would have been a kick in the groin to concede, because they had done well, I thought, defensively and tactically. They were set up. But like you say, I couldn't see them counter-attacking on us. But you never know, you know, with confidence as the game goes on, if it's 60, 70, 80 minutes and it's still 0-0, you know, gives them confidence. You know, they find that extra 10% in their legs and then they try and look to nick it. But yeah, it was great. Always a great time to score a goal just before half-time. And so, you know, it's lovely to come from, you know, we talked about her earlier, you know, our inspirational captain. And I suppose after being out for quite a while, it's lovely to come back, but to score as well as a defender, you're not really expected to.
Yeah, not to forget as well that Birmingham did beat Arsenal this season, so could play a key role in where the title goes. So, Matt, I was out yesterday, so I only managed to catch the first half live. What were the key reasons on the turnaround in the second half? Because the floodgates seemed to open and Birmingham's defence disintegrated and Chelsea put on a very good show in the second half.
Yeah, I think, as I said, the goal just before halftime, I think really, in a way, it boosted Chelsea in terms of having that goal and knowing that Birmingham haven't had any chance to score, so you're unlikely to concede and you're looking like you're going to go ahead in this tie. And it allowed us to almost enjoy ourselves a bit more and we started playing a bit more free-flowing football. I think Birmingham, obviously, it kind of knocks the wind out of them. And it forced them to come out a bit more in the second half. When they do come out, obviously, they're going to leave spaces in behind, spaces in between the defence and the midfield, which I think we exploited very well. And I think it was a very good second half performance that just flowed perfectly for Chelsea.
Yeah, worth noting as well that Burnham had no supporters in the ground, obviously due to sanctions, so Chelsea can't sell tickets. So again, football supporters in England feeling the effects of sanctions rather than Russian presidents. One of the players that stood out, Dane, was Drew Spence. And if you was in our Discord channel, you would know that her inclusion in the lineup raised a few eyebrows because she's not been playing particularly well of late. But yeah, how big of an impact do you think it was for her to have Sophie Ingle alongside her? So she hasn't really got to worry about that defensive side so much. She was able to drive forward and her assist for Beth was absolutely world-class, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it gives her license, doesn't it? You know, Sophie, as I've always said, screens just in front of the defence so well, allows the attacking, more attacking players in front of her to have a license to roam. Drew, you know, she it must be hard for her, you know, to have gone in recent seasons from you know, regular to, you know, squad rotation. She's always had a good engine on her. I've also always thought she's had quite a good finish on her as well. You've got to wonder about the mentality, if she's happy with squad rotation or she'll be looking to move on, you know, because she's good enough to go in quite a few teams within the top league and play regularly. But she has struggled, but it's nice to see her because, you know, we're all fond of her. You know, she's been at the club for so long now. And, you know, we don't wish, you know, any bad performances on any of our players. So, you know, I thought by Sophie playing her usual way just allowed Drew to be a little bit more free. And, you know, I think she exploited that. And I thought she had a brilliant game, you know, but she has had quite a few good games this season and scored quite a few goals. I remember the goal at United when we comfortably beat them. Another great finish. Yeah, she's a good player. And selfishly, like Beth England, I hope we keep them for morale. As I said, they've been around the club for a long time, but, you know, some players need to play regularly, and I wouldn't be surprised if both of them left in the summer.
Yeah, I think the games where she's not played well, she's been with, you know, G in the midfield, and there's a lot more emphasis on her to be the legs and that defensive cover. But she is actually very good going forward, which probably she doesn't get the credit for. Let's not talk about leaving too soon, though. Let's wait till the summer for that.
She's actually got quite a good little... She's got a little bit of spite in her tackle as well. You know, she puts herself about. She doesn't take no nonsense, which I've always liked about her. And, you know, yeah, she's a solid player. And, yeah, I've always been a fan.
Yeah, she's part of the Chelsea furniture, so we can't let her go. Matt, talking of Beth England, we didn't predict her to start, because we just thought that Emma would go with Sam Kerr, try and win the game in the first half, then maybe bring her on. But it was sort of good to see her get the start and stay on at half-time despite only being 1-0. And in the second half, she started to do some of the things that we know and love Beth can do so well.
Yeah, she had a fantastic second half, as did most of the attack. I think in the first half, as I said, it was one of them things that the wide players were kind of getting a lot of joy with Birmingham kind of looking to stop the play in the middle. And I think obviously Beth England being as a striker is always going to be affected by that. She was a bit isolated, but as Birmingham started to open up a little bit, she really did fantastic in that second half and was the Beth England we've always seen and always will see. As Dane said, I hope she stays. I don't think she will. I think there's too many attacking options, and I'm being unselfish, she deserves to be starting and fighting for top goal scorer in the WSL, which she will wherever she decides to go. Unfortunately, she's got to think what's best for her career, whether that's staying at Chelsea, fighting against some of the best attackers in the world, or whether it's going out somewhere else and making something of her career even more with maybe another club, maybe abroad or here in the WSL.
Yeah, we'll see on that one. That whole move for that Beth Goldane with the Drew Spence backheel started with G, a little bit of excellence on the ball. What did you make of her performance back in that sort of number 10 role that she knew before sort of the arrival of Pernilla Harder? She's played deeper a lot recently for Chelsea, and seeing her back in that sort of natural role, she seemed to stand out a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. A favoured role. You were talking to Matt off air about it. It would be interesting to try and find how you could fit in, you know, the front three when Franz fit Peniel and Sam with G as a number 10. You might have to go back to a 4-2-3-1 and, you know, and have Peniel and Fran either side of G. But yeah, you know, we all know, we've seen her passing over the years. You know, she's got a great eye, great radar. When it's on, she, you know, she can pick balls out of the air and she can pick, you know, players from 200, 300 yards away. You know, she's amazingly good, so technical, so talented. And yeah, you're right, she's been a lot deeper recently and it's nice to see her more freed up. Again, you know, as we said, you know, we spoke about Sophie and Drew, like, would have been protecting her behind her. But yeah, that was a brilliant goal. Such awareness by Drew, obviously originally by G, and then to play for Beth. And yeah, it's funny because obviously Beth's next goal was a freaking amazing finish. And for someone who's been in and out, more out of the team, and every time we've put her in with our predictions, she hasn't been in. She hasn't played as much as we thought. But, you know, to be in that right position for her tap-in and the way she finished that second goal of hers was just what Beth we know. And like Matt, yeah, selfishly, like I said, I'd like her to stay, but... wow, she can walk into most teams. I've always said that. And, you know, at this stage of her career, she's probably in her prime, should be playing regularly. She would be scoring regularly if she played regularly. Maybe a move to North America, or, you know, obviously we had rumours about Manchester United when Casey Stoney was the manager. Or obviously, as we know, Casey Stoney is now in the WSL. So she might have plans to go and start a new life and go and join her over there.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of clubs will be ringing Emma Hayes this summer asking, what is Beth doing? Another standout player, Matt, was Neve Charles, who has been absolutely superb in recent weeks since she's come into the side. And she also topped her performance off with a goal. Just how impressed with her have you been in recent weeks and, of course, yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's played very well in a lot recent weeks since she's come in. It's nice to see someone who's not necessarily played a lot of games this season come in, and when they need to fight for a position, because obviously it's hard to get a place in this team because it's so good and so much strength and depth, but she's really done well to try and cement herself a position. I'm still unsure of where her exact position is in this team. I was speaking to Dane off air. I always get, there's a couple of players in this team I'm just looking, especially in this 3-4-3, where I'm just not sure where they're going to play, how well they're suited to each position. But I think when she's played really well. And I think at the end of the day, that's what matters. I mean, it's up to her, up to Emma Hayes, where she will play in terms of permanently, in terms of position, but that's for her to sort out.
Yeah, I think she frees up Erin to move back into midfield. Dan, you want to come in on Neve?
Yeah, I was just your thoughts, you know, where would you have her? And it doesn't have to be in the first 11, you know, if obviously... If you had to pick a position for her, or she had to fight for, whether it be obviously in the first 11 or coming off the bench, you know, where do you see her? Because I just, yeah, like Matt, you know, like Matt said, we was talking off air, you know, I like her, but like Matt, I don't know where I'd want her to play. I'm not a great fan of her. I want her more centrally for some reason. I know that's really hard because we've got abundance of talent centrally, but again, you know, she's got such good energy. She's got good pass. She can finish as well, given the chance. And love to see her centrally, but I just don't know how. I just think she's a bit wasted out on the right wing back or right midfielder. Just be interesting to see what you think.
I think she could play in central midfield in Chelsea's pivot at some point. Depends how Emma wants to use the ball. If she's got Magda and Millie stepping out and playing crossfield balls, then you might as well have her at wing back so she can push up the pitch and, you know, get on the end of those crosses rather than chasing second balls all game long like the midfield can do. I'd prefer Erin in central midfield anyway, so if she can come off the wing and Neve can play there, absolutely. I mean, you could have a midfield with Charles, Cuthbert, Fleming, Wrighton, or even Abdelina, the new winger as well. So there's youth there. But I think she's still got time to develop that position and where she plays. She could become another Erin, where she plays multiple positions on the pitch. She could play in the 10 role as well. Lots of choices for her. Matt, what was your pick for Neve? You're going to pick a position for her.
See, it's hard. I mean, in terms of this formation, I probably would say the wing back is probably the best position she can play in, because I think there's too many forward players for her to get in up top. And then again, it does allow Erin Cuthbert to go into midfield. Obviously, she's still young, so she's still adaptable to fit to a specific position. She can learn it still. And I think she is getting the grasp of it quite well, which is good. So hopefully, if she plays this position a bit more until the end of the season, then we can see how it is for next season, whether she'll remain in that place full time or whether there's someone else that will come in.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say as well, Dane and Matt, you're talking about how they talked off air, and they wasn't ignoring me. I had Wi-Fi issues, okay?
Oh, no, we thought we was ignoring you. We didn't realise you had Wi-Fi issues.
Just frozen in time. Dane, I just want to briefly mention, moving to a more serious subject, Alsu Abdelina. She was the only Chelsea player not to obviously bear the Ukrainian colours on her arm, for obvious reasons. You know, her family obviously live in Russia, so there's calling out Putin's not the smartest thing to do, even if you're the other side of the world. But just want to say, with all that going on, how great it is to see her playing and playing well. She got an assist yesterday. She seems to have, you know, a wise head on her shoulders.
Yeah. Obviously, the spotlight's on, you know, on Alsu. Chelsea women's games are usually televised. Must be so hard for her. It's so easy to form or judge and get an opinion of someone's personality just by seeing them on TV. And obviously, when we see them get interviewed, obviously we haven't seen Alsu get interviewed a lot. So, I mean, you form an opinion, but you know, we don't know personally what these players are like, what their likes are off field and their beliefs. But yeah, you're right. It must be so hard for her, you know. Again, she's in a new country. She hasn't been here long, trying to fit in with her teammates, trying to learn the language. Then all of a sudden, obviously the goings on of her country with Ukraine would have rocked her. She'd be worried about her own family as well. You know, obviously we don't know if she's obviously got friends or whatever in Ukraine, but she can't be seen to do anything. It's smart. I couldn't think of anyone better for any players struggling than to have Emma. And our wonderful team, just like with the men's, with Tuchel and the men's players, we've seen how wonderful our leaders are of this club on the footballing side, you know, the off the field. The people above the football managers were, you know, enough said about them, the better. But, you know, the coaches and the managers and the staff and the players, you know, have been amazing. They've all stood up. Couldn't have been easy. And, you know, I just hope that Abdelina is getting, I can only imagine she's getting the support she needs. And yeah, I don't blame her one bit. You know, it must be so hard for her, but like everyone else, she's got to be professional. She is paid to do a job, you know, like we all are. And yeah, it's heartbreaking, but you know, we try and separate sports and politics, but our government haven't allowed us to do that regarding being Chelsea fans. And yeah, poor Abdelina is obviously seeing what's going on, and it must be devastating for her.
Yeah, there were some nice pictures on the Chelsea Women Supporters Facebook group, their Facebook page, where she was signing autographs before the game. Fans stopped her, took some photos with her, so that was nice. I don't think she speaks much English at all, but she seems to be settling in pretty well. Matt, I suppose this was a pretty perfect afternoon for Chelsea. You know, 5 goals, key players rested, you know, Harder not in the squad, Kerr, Cuthbert on new substitutes. Pretty much what we could have wished for before the game came true.
Yeah, I mean, perfect result, perfect scenarios in terms of resting players, especially when we've got such a huge game in midweek, Tottenham. Obviously, it's a big team. It's our game in hand, to really push us in terms of putting it in our own hands for the title. So, yeah, I mean, it's the perfect scenario any Chelsea fan could have wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that when we did our Play the Match vote in Discord that Drew Spence won. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to give it to her anyway because I think that was the name that came up most often. Dame, agree, disagree with that?
No, I agree. I agree. Pushed by, obviously G and Beth, who had good games, and especially strikers, as we say with Beth, you know, usually judged on scoring and not a lot else. And, you know, I was pleased that she got two goals. As we've said, we've put her in our team so many times and been surprised when she's been left on the bench. So it can't be easy, especially with strikers needing confidence and run the games. But again, as we said, with G playing in a favoured number 10 and obviously Drew, who struggled recently, you know, had a fantastic game. So, yeah, I was quite happy to see Drew being given it.
Yeah. Matt, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think in terms of the overall game, Drew had probably the best game. Obviously, Bethany England was really good the second half, but obviously was quite isolated in the first half. So I think that's why I'd give it to Drew over anyone else.
Yeah, well done to the Discord group. Hopefully that is actually the player they picked. I haven't made that up. Elsewhere in the competition, Arsenal overcame Coventry United 4-0 on Friday. West Ham edged past Ipswich 1-0 and Manchester City won 4-0 against Everton. The draw for the semi-final is taking place right now. So Chelsea are about to be drawn against a team in the semi-final. Hoping for West Ham, Dave?
Well, obviously, you say that, don't you? But I'd quite like to get Arsenal.
Yeah, Matt, are you a fan of chaos like Dane?
I'll take whoever. I think this team can beat any team.
That is positivity untold. Just see if it has been made before I go to a break. No. Okay, we're going to go for a break. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to the Wednesday night WSL game against Tottenham. Be right back.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
For Chelsea fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. For match highlights, interviews and the best Chelsea videos and podcasts. Download the free CFC Blues app now from the App Store and Google Play.
FootballFancast.com.
Welcome back to Wentzmoe Kings Meadow. Time now to look ahead to that Wednesday WSL match with Tottenham. Dane, this is our final game in hand that we have over Arsenal. Win and we go top. Is this sort of the biggest game of the season so far?
Yes, yes. Thus far, as you put in the script, yeah, it's a massive game. It's all been building up to this game in hand. To see if we can take over the lead that Arsenal have held. They've held all season. We haven't been top, have we? They've held all season, and although they will, you know, they will come out with good PA. Arsenal, you know, it will be a bit gut wrenching for them. They'll have to be professional because obviously, as we've seen, especially with games for both sides this season, anything can happen. But yeah, wow, it's exciting, and what a time to go top as well. It's going to be a tough game. I've been impressed with Tottenham over the last couple of seasons, but yeah, this is big, big. Very looking forward to it very much. So,
yeah, Arsenal of course have their Champions League ties coming up against Wolfsburg as well, so they could be second in the league and out of the Champions League. Fingers crossed. But Matt, Spurs are no pushovers. In fact, they are desperate to win as well because that will put them back in the hunt for that Champions League spot, the third one. It's going to be one of our toughest games of the season as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they've had some good upsets against the likes of Arsenal, even the last game. Obviously, it was City 1-1-0, but they could have nicked it before Man City scored their goal. They've been very resolute in their games. And I think I don't like to put praise on Tottenham because obviously Tottenham are that little club down the road, but I'd probably say they've been overall the most improved team in terms of compared to last year. So credit for them for that. Obviously, that doesn't win them a trophy, so it doesn't matter to us, but there you go.
Yeah, they're used to that. I'm actually quite good at separating Tottenham women from Tottenham.
I think I am, yeah.
Don't have the same hatred for the women's team.
Yeah, no.
Although I will hate them if they stop us winning. Then I know we mentioned this earlier, but the main selection point is going to be who's in goal. So if you're put yourself in Emma Hayes' shoes, who's your goalkeeper on Wednesday night?
I'd go with AKB. Mustavic is very, very close indeed. And not that I would be bothered or worried if I saw Mustavic was starting, but I think she's got the experience, she's got the know-how, she's played top games. This is a top must-win game, and I can only see her going with AKB. But I suppose we've got to be prepared. But like many other instances this season, when we've tried to second guess Emma, we've got it wrong. So I wouldn't be surprised. But either way, you know, whoever's in goal, you know, they're both fantastic goalies. One is the present, one is the future, but there's not far between them, I don't think, at the moment. It's very close.
Yeah, I think it's good to see them as two number ones rather than a number one and a number two.
Yeah.
Matt, I'll ask you two questions then. Firstly, who do you pick in goal? And then secondly, Magda's sort of back 90 minutes, so she's going to come into the team, you'd guess. So who's going to make way for her? Does Newman stay on the bench, or is it Jess Carter, or does Millie get a rest for once in a blue moon?
I think this is such a big game. I don't think you can rest any of the big players for this game. I would bring Berger in because I think, again, she's such a big game player. She's been a big game player in the big games they've played. So I'd put her back into the side. In terms of Magda, obviously, she's got to play. She's got to come back in. I think, unfortunately, I think Newham will be the one that maybe misses out because I think Emma probably prefers Carter just a bit more. If it was my personal choice, I maybe would keep Newman in and take Carter out, but that's just a personal choice more than anything.
Yeah, the back three is going to be interesting indeed. I definitely think Magda's back. When I give you my team, you'll see what I think. Dan, are you expecting the 3-4-3 to continue now? I know they switched to the 4 when Magda was out and it worked very well, but now she's back and how crucial she is to what we do with the ball going forward. Do you think it's going to be the 3-4-3?
If Magda starts, then yeah, it'll be 3-4-3. If she doesn't, it'll be 4. I think it's quite as simple as that. I think she might be on the bench. I think, again, second guessing Emma is a freaking waste of time because I seem to always get it wrong. But I would not be surprised then if Emma, you know, believes that with Carter, Millie, Bright, and Newen, we can comfortably keep Tottenham at bay, which we can. And we can have, obviously, we can say Magda, because as we said, you know, although she played 90 minutes on Sunday, it's been a while since she's been out. And, you know, quick turnover, 2 or 3 days. So, but potentially games against Man City and Arsenal, potentially in the Cup, could be even more important games in the league. So I think she might be on the bench.
Interesting. Obviously, we will find out at 6:45 on Wednesday night. Now, Spurs, this season, they're currently fifth. They've played 16 games, won 8, drawn 4, lost 4. A win here puts them level on points with Manchester United in third. Quite the season they've been having under Ryan Skinner, Matt. Have you seen much of them, and what is it that's impressed you about them?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit. I wouldn't say I've seen lots of Spurs, because obviously focus on Chelsea and Chelsea only. But I think they're very good in the wide positions, and I think that's where they've always got the better of the likes of Arsenal and City, because obviously City and Arsenal, they're most of their creativity comes from the wings or their fullbacks. So I think they've been very good at trying to exploit in that, which is where I think in terms of Chelsea, I think they might come a bit more unstuck, because we're not so reliant on our wing, on our wide players. We've got talent and creativity everywhere. But yeah, I think they've been very good, particularly their fullbacks there on the wings. They don't score enough goals. I think I was looking, I think top goal scorers had about 7 goals. So I think it's shared around the team. But obviously, there's no one person you look in there and go, that's the goal scorer you're going to rely on for the season. So I think that's where I think they could improve going forward if they really want to challenge like Chelsea, Arsenal, United and City.
Yeah, perhaps they could use a striker like Daphne England. It is Arsenal in the FA Cup away from home. So Dane's got his wish. Well done, Dane. Dane, going back to Tottenham, we'll leave the FA Cup for now. What I've seen of them, of Tottenham, their fullbacks are crucial, and in particular, Ashley Neville. She could be a real problem for us down the left-hand side. So do you think Emma will look to counter that with Jonna Andersen, sort of a more defensive left-back, or go with Guru Wrighton and look to exploit any space that she might leave behind?
Yeah, sometimes I like the front foot way, you know, and instead of worrying about them, let them worry about us, you know, because she will be on the back foot up against Wrighton rather than on the front foot up against Jonna Andersen. You know, Ashley Neville has been the standout player for Tottenham for me for a good 3 or 4 seasons. You know, I'm very impressed with her at the age of 28. It dumbfounds me, but she's never got any international recognition. She's always impressed me. She added goals to her game this year, player of the month as well, which she's very impressive. And last time I saw Tottenham was when they unluckily drew with Arsenal 1-1 after tactically dominating Arsenal. Could have been 2 or 3-0 up. And I think they obviously conceded a goal in about the 91st minute through Miedemar. But I was so impressed with how they set up, you know, you know, when you play against the top teams, you've obviously got to be really strict, really smart in possession. You know, you all got to be on the same page. Obviously, the manager's got to trust you all. And yeah, they were very unlucky. Just looking at the record, like you said, you know, played 16, won 8, drawn 4, lost 4. And without sounding disrespectful to them, if you place their squads against, you know, ours, Arsenal's, Man City's, Man United, the standout players will be lacking for Tottenham. So if they added even 2 to this team, then they would be a massive threat next season. But yeah, I've been impressed with them. Like you, I can separate the men's and the women's team, and I don't mind saying that. You know, I've got no problem with them. As I said, I admire a few of their players. I know they've got another one, haven't they? Rhea Perceval, who's, you know, in her own right, 150-odd international caps, you know, amazing career she's had. But yeah, it will be a tough game. They'll be set up well, but, you know, with all our attacking goals, then you expect us, you hope us, that we'll find a way past them, hopefully a few times.
Yeah, Matt, talking about how they're going to set up, obviously, they played the 4-4-2 against City, then limited the wide players, as you said. They did the same thing to Arsenal when they almost got the 3 points. Expecting them to do 4-4-2 against us, because they went 4-3-3 against Manchester United and got found out pretty comfortably by by United. So you think they'll do the 4-2-2, 4-4-2 again?
Yeah, I think it's the most solid formation in terms of if you want to sit back, defend, and then go on the counter-attack. Whether it will be the right formation to play against Chelsea, I don't know. I think we can, again, with patience and control, as long as we keep the ball, I think we can exploit it. And I think we can create through the middle and maybe break that Spurs 4-4-2. But I think that's what they'll go with, because I think it's their best one against the big teams. As you said, the United one, they were kind of found out a little bit because I think it's the 4-3-3. It does leave a bit more space open for players to move in.
Yeah, we will obviously, as we've said, see on Wednesday night. Here's what I think Emma will do. Stick with 3-4-3. I think Muzovic starts in goal. Bright, Carter and Eriksen playing defence. Charles, Cuthbert, Ingle and Wrighton playing midfield. And Fleming, Harder and Kerr in attack. I think with the run of form we've had, you know, that last minute goal against Villa, the confidence we got from that, wins against Everton and obviously Birmingham in the FA Cup. I think we're just going to try and blow Tottenham out of the water like we do with Everton. Dave, what's your thoughts on that 11?
Well, as I said, you know, I'll keep on saying it, second guessing Emery is another thing. I don't think Magda starts. I think Nguyen, she'll start Nguyen. And I can see, yeah, Harder and Kerr, but I reckon Nguyen will start instead of. I don't know. It's a hard one. Again, it's so hard second guessing her. You know, again, you know, you've just had a striker score two goals, surely in a must win game. You'd want to play her as well, Bethany. It's a hard one. God, you've got Misevic in goal as well. Oh, throwing out bombs, you are.
Dropping bombs all over the place. Matt, what's your thoughts on the 11?
Yeah, I think, as I said before, I think Berg will start. Other than that, I think the lineup is the outfield lineup. I think it's pretty much set. I think I'd agree with you with that. I think the only difference I'd make, I think Anderson might play instead of Wrighton. I think she will, especially on that side with Neville, want to be a bit more defensively solid. But again, trying to guess what Emma wants to do is impossible. I tend to give up trying to predict her lineups now because it's just, I look like a fool when she puts out something completely different.
Yeah, she's obviously going to play 4-4-2 now with Carter and Charles on the right and Anderson and Wright on the left and drop probably Fleming. But we'll see. Prediction time then. I think we're going to have a very good game against Tottenham and win 3-0. I'm going to come to Matt now because Dave's throwing his hands in the air. So you can pick your second guess. Just the one you're looking for.
I'm going to say 2-0. It's going to kind of play out like the Birmingham game. It's going to be first half, we're going to be calm and control, try and figure them out. We might not get a goal before half time, but I think the second half will be a bit more, they'll be a bit more open on the counter attack. And I think we'll sneak in, get a goal. And then once that is, we'll get another goal just before the end of the match. It'll be tight overall.
Yeah. And then finally, if you manage to pick a new prediction now.
Yeah, new prediction, yeah. Well, I was going to go with 3-0, but you've nicked my prediction once again. You knew I was going for that, and you're just doing it to be annoying. So I'm going to say Lauren James comes off the bench, scores a debut goal to make it 4-0 to Chelsea, and we go nicely to the top of the league.
That would be very nice indeed. Sadly, that is all we've got time for this week. Huge thank you, Matt, for joining us. A pleasure to have you back on the show. Good luck, obviously, with the Worldwide Chelsea podcast that you're doing. As always, tag us in anything that you do. We'll share it. Make sure the listeners of our show also check you out.
Definitely. Thank you for inviting me on again. Appreciate it a lot. It's good to talk to you guys about women's football. Make sure you check out the podcast. It'll be hopefully a bit more consistent in the next few weeks, but that is the travel of making podcasts. It takes a lot of time in and off the screen.
I hope you've got a better Wi-Fi than Dean.
Probably. Just about.
It's more difficult. You can have dial-up internet and it'd be better than the Wi-Fi that's running right now. Dane, good good to see you again, as always. Sorry about the predictions, but when I don't go first myself, you nick mine.
Yeah. Obviously, it's always a pleasure to come on. It's nice seeing Matt again. Yeah, I didn't realise how long it had been. It's nice to get his insight. You know, he's obviously, I hope, wish him all the best for his podcast, because it's nice to have relationships with other women's podcasts to, because we're all in it together. You know, we all want the same thing. So it's nice to get on and have guests on, and, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and he'll invite me and you on, Dean, as well. He can share the love to us. But yeah, no, it's always nice seeing Matt. And yeah, I've enjoyed it tonight. The last episode we did was a lot more, you know, a lot more serious and a lot more, I suppose, worrying. But, you know, as weeks have come on, we've absorbed things more. It's nice to obviously get back to the football and have a good chat about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Remembering what's going on, but also talking about football is what we love to do. And then Matt will be on London's Blue soon anyway. He won't answer my messages anymore. Jane will be back later this week. She'll look back at this game against Tottenham and look ahead to the match at Leicester the following weekend. Got it right this week. That'll be one of our all-female panel shows, as we like to give more women a voice in the industry. In the meantime, if you're looking for a fun and friendly place to talk Chelsea, then make sure to join our Discord channel. And if you love what we do and want to help support the show, please consider joining us on Patreon. The links for both of those are in the description box. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Mo King Camillo, me at Dean Mears, Dane at DWit9, and Matt at MattJBall98. We're also on Instagram at Went to Mo King Camillo. Thanks for listening. And until next time, from King Camillo to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.